Today we look at a dream Jacob had at Bethel in Genesis chapter 28. This was a dream and a prophecy that shares God makes promises and God keeps his promises. And one day there will be a connection that we can see. For you and I, no assembly required. No need to make any deals. Everything will be graciously given to us. In this connection, the Lord's promises are always fulfilled because he is always present. Just got a job, the Lord is present. Just lose your job, the Lord is present. You just started a wonderful relationship, the Lord is present. You just ended what you thought was a wonderful relationship, the Lord is present. The Lord is present if you are surrounded by people you love. The Lord is present if you, like Jacob, feel alone and are running from life because of some of the horrible choices you've made. Know that you are not alone. God is present. With God's presence comes his power to return you to him. It's easy to forget that we have a God who's always with us, that promises us to protect and provide for us. When we forget, God returns. Jesus shows up and says to us all, I am the Lord, your God. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. And I promise to return you safely to my Father's house one day. Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22, Jacob's dream. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He anointed it. He called that place Bethel, which means the house of God, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow. And this was his prayer to God. If God will be with me, and if he will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and if he will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household. Then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I've set up as a pillar, this will be God's house. And you know what, God? All that you give me, guess what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to give you back a tenth. This is God's word. Last week in Genesis chapter 27, we see the makeup of a dysfunctional family. Idols being created and deception. And where does this leave the family? Divided. We saw Jacob's betrayal of his father and his brother as he stole the blessing and his brother's birthright. Moms is definitely going through it. Rebecca will later say, I'm disgusted with living. Just a little bit of advice. Ladies, I know dads can be overprotective. I am a dad. Gentlemen, because I am a son, I know sometimes mothers can set that bar just a little bit too high. But let me share with you this. If you decide to bring anyone home to your parents and you overhear them say, if you marry that person, my life is not worth living, just know that's not the right person. Get your parents' approval. Don't go messing up future family functions just because you got bad taste. Get some help. This was Esau's problem. He had a bad choice of women. Then he wanted to start crying because he couldn't get a blessing. Fed up with life, Esau communicated to his mother, when you get dad's casket, make sure you get one for my brother Jacob. Now Rebecca, disgusted and distressed, tells her son Jacob, your dad is dying, I'm going crazy, and your brother is already crazy. You're going to have to go move in with your rich uncle. And while you're there, please find a wife. Someone me and your dad will approve of. So Jacob has to flee. And he wanders off into the wilderness. And at this point, Jacob has brought all this misery that he's going through on himself. Lying his head down on that stone, he had to be thinking this is an all-time low. He thinks he's in the middle of nowhere. He thinks he has no one. And then God returns. God comes to him in a dream. It says, Jacob, I'm here. You have me. You have my promises. You have my protection. You have my blessings. Jacob hears this, and he's afraid. He didn't know God was with him all this time. And he's probably also a little confused. Why is God willing to be so generous and still bless me? After all this disturbance that I've caused. After hearing all this, Jacob says, let's make a deal. He sounded more like Jake from State Farm than the one who we would come to know as Mr. Israel. But do you ever find yourself bargaining with God, though he's already promised to protect and care for you? Lord, if you just give me this job, I promise I will be more generous. Lord, if you make this relationship work out, I promise I will treat people better. Lord, if you only take care of my health and get me through this, I promise tomorrow I'll go to church. Hopefully some of you aren't in here for that very reason, but if you are, I'm thankful that you are here. Or could you be like Rebecca and Isaac? Doubt what the Lord has planned for you. And you think you need to intervene. After all, I know what's best for me. And I know what's best for my family. God doesn't need our help. He needs us to have faith. He needs us to believe in his promises. He needs us to believe in him. In Jacob's dream, he saw a stairway resting on earth, reaching to heaven. Notice that the stairway comes all the way down to the earth. There's a connection between heaven and earth, unlike the Tower of Babel, where they started at the bottom, and now they was here. But notice, it never got up there. They thought access to heaven could be accomplished through works. The stairway in Jacob's dream comes all the way down to the ground. It connects heaven and earth, and all the work is done for you. The entrance is at your feet, and at the top of the stairway is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did Jacob need to become a good person before God pledged his promises to him? No. God's promises are kept because of God's character, not because of Jacob's character. Did Jacob need to get right with God before the stairway was offered to him? No. The stairway found him, even in his sin. This stairway is a picture of God's goodness to those who don't deserve it. It's a reminder that God keeps his promises. This ladder represents an offer of salvation to those who cannot earn it. It's a prophecy, and this prophecy was fulfilled by our Savior. In our first lesson in John's gospel, Pastor Hine read, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Translation in the Greek, he's not like Jacob. He's different. He believes. So he will see great things. And then the Lord added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You and I will see with our own eyes that the way sinners on earth will be brought to the glory of heaven, Jesus says, is through him. He is the stairway. And he comes to us, even in our sin, and offers us salvation. A couple of nights ago, our evening at the Kelly household was beautifully interrupted by a paddy wagon, two squad cars, and two detectives. It was about 5:25 Friday evening, and I was on my way home, and I get a phone call from my wife, Vaughn. And she says to me, "Where are you? And what's for dinner?" Though she always leads with those two questions. And I said, "I'm on my way home." I was only about 5 minutes away from my house. And I said, "I'll be there shortly. When I get home, I plan to do some more studying and some reading." And she says, "Oh, okay. Well, I'll pick what we're having for dinner tonight." So they decided to have tuna casserole. I'm giving you this small detail because later in the story, you will see God's presence. Because if you know Vaughn, she never goes to the grocery store. And normally the conversation would have been like, "Where you at?" "Oh, I'm on my way home. I need you to go to the store. Then I need you to come home and make dinner. I see you when you get here." But this time it was different. She said, "I'll go to the store." So I made it home around 5:30-ish. Got at the dining room table, opened up the Bible to Genesis 28, and started reading. Probably about 10 to 15 minutes later, around 5:40, 5:45, I hear Vaughn screaming outside. "Ron, help! Ron, help! Ron, help!" She was losing it, and I could tell she was very scared. And I started to get scared. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to have to go from God's word to God's warrior. I don't know if I'm ready for this. So I said a quick prayer. "Please, Lord, don't let me get beat up before I have to preach on Sunday." I didn't think that would be right. So I was hurrying to the door. And like kitty corner of the door, I have a bat and a nine iron. So I was like, "Lord, lead me and I will follow." But then after I got out of my own head, I could clearly better understand what she was screaming and what she was saying. She was saying, "Ron, help, Ron, help. Oh my goodness, this is a live baby." So I didn't need a nine iron or the bat for the baby. I thank God for sparing me a butt whooping. Thank you, Jesus. And I hurried up and opened up the door. She had found a baby in the street. In a car seat. We live on 2nd Street, which is back this way and that way. She was pretty, you know, emotional and shaken up about it. And so was I. She brought the baby into the house. The baby girl was only about 3 to 4 months old. She was still very tiny. It took a minute for all of us to calm down and to call the police. Once we all calmed down, Vaughn was really torn up, really emotional over the matter. So I called the police and I reported to them what had happened. The police came, the paddy wagon came, and we gave them the breakdown of what we seen happen. And when I say the baby was in the middle of the street, right in the middle, located on a speed bump that's located on our street. So after the police had got some details of what went down, they called some more officers in to do some investigation. When the other officers came, we were able to hear on their walkie-talkies another call that was coming in. Someone had just carjacked someone, and the lady that they stole the car from, the lady reported her baby was still inside the car. So they confirmed the identity of the baby that was in our house. And we thank God for that. As I was thinking my way through this, and I was trying to calm Vine down, and I was trying to calm myself down, I start reading again. And what came to me is God is always present, even when we're not even aware of it. We were both rattled up. The officers called her a hero just because they explained to her, it never ends up like this. It never. And on the street that I live on, it ended up the way that it did, you know that it was God. They placed the baby in the middle of the street. Vine came home going south on 2nd Street, so that's going this way. To the left of the street is this huge parking lot for apartment buildings. And currently there's construction going on right there. They could have easily took the baby over there. There's also two huge dumpsters in that very parking lot. I'm pretty sure we have heard stories that ended that way. To the right, I think I mentioned to you all that I own vacant land across the street from my house. Parking lot on one side, vacant land on the other side, trees everywhere. They could have put the baby over there and she wouldn't have made it to the morning. God was present. It was an awful thing that they did, stealing that young lady's car. But God put the baby, as horrible as it sounds, in the right place. When I heard my wife was going to the store and that she was cooking, I thought I was dreaming. But you see how God had her go to the store and come back at the time. She was in the right place. And 2nd Street, it's a well-traveled street for bad drivers. Most of the people who would have drove by would have kept on going. The second majority, not paying attention, would have probably hit the baby. Every day I work from home, I hear cars repeatedly slam to the bottom of the street. Just because they're not paying attention to the street bump that's ahead or the big yellow sign that says there's a street bump on this street. But God was present. And the most beautiful thing about all of this The baby didn't have to do anything. God protected her. God cared for her. And God returned her home safely. The baby spent about 2 hours, an hour and a half to 2 hours at our house before they took her away. She stayed asleep the whole time. Now, I have had 3 4-month-old baby girls. They never stay asleep when you want them to. God promised to watch over Jacob wherever he went. He watched over this innocent baby girl wherever she went Friday night. He promised to be with you and I and watch over us wherever we go. And the Lord your God will not leave you until he has done what he has promised. Surely the Lord is in this place. How amazing is that? There's a staircase stretching all the way up to heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God assures us that we will not lack anything. We will be restored and guided. We will be protected and comforted. Even during our darkest times, please trust and have peace in God's promise, God's presence, and God's return. And one day, you and I will live in the house of God forever. Amen.
Listening to the St. Marcus MKE Sermons podcast. If you'd like to take the next step in your faith walk, we encourage you to download the Church Center app and add St. Marcus as your church, or fill out our online Connect card. Through the app, you can share prayer requests, receive weekly updates, and discover opportunities to get involved. It's a great tool for staying rooted in the rhythms of worship, study, serving, and giving that keep us spiritually nourished. See the episode description for the link to download. If you're inspired by these messages, please subscribe, leave a rating, and share them with a friend. May God's love and grace guide you today and every day.